producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Had a caller. If you joined us saying, hey, my power bill's doubled the last 2 years, it's no secret the energy councils are on record. There's been roughly about a 75% increase in electrical generated power in the last 6 years, mainly because of 400, 500, 700 power plants have been shut down. They're set to shut down another 1,000 under EPA regulations because they've listed water vapor and carbon dioxide as poison. Nothing else comes out of the stacks now. They're totally clean. And so it doesn't matter whether you're getting it from hydroelectric or solar or whatever, there's less power generation, so the prices go up. All right, let's go to Woody in Washington. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. I just wanted to say, do you remember the movie Blazing Saddles, the character that played the Attorney General, Harvey Korman? I think him and Holder look a lot alike.
You know, I have never seen Blazing Saddles except for a few clips of it. Doesn't that have the comedian in it?
Yeah, well, it had a host of comedians. And Harvey Korman played a great attorney general that was just a real scoundrel.
Is that the one with Billy Crystal?
No.
Oh, he did a knockoff or something on a Western. Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles. Anyway, from a historical perspective, I've been reading a lot of Jefferson's biography recently by John Meacham. And, you know, our forefathers, they never lost sight of who they were dealing with ever. And that's where we've gotten off the track. We as a country, we've lost sight that who the real scoundrels and villains are. And we went to sleep, and now we're waking up, and we're in this nightmare. And all we got to do is go to history. Look what they did to the American Indians. They gave them blankets with smallpox and, you know. And here's a history piece. In New York City, there was a typhus outbreak during the Civil War that was suspected that the Confederates did. So there's a lot of history. Just look at the history. You'll see what's coming our way.
Well, you made a great point, Woody, about the whole situation with biologicals being used as weapons, but also about the founders. I've read the letters and works written by Jefferson and by Washington. They were mad about rigged economies and ultra-rich that wouldn't let other people compete in the market. The whole Renaissance in Europe was about trying to stop that. And that's what we're under now, is crony capitalism versus true freedom. And if we ever just get basic true freedom, we'll all be so rich. Our problem will be our kids being spoiled brats. And that's what's happened. We got so rich off freedom that we now are a bunch of spoiled brats. We are the spoiled brats. And our kids are even bigger spoiled brats, collectively. We've got to change that. But historically, first, the bottom has to fall out. Thank you for the call, Woody. Joe in Georgia, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hey, buddy. Big old racist. That's all
right.
You are. You're a race baiter. You're just trying to stir things up. No, but really, I love your show. First time caller, man. I just wanted to echo what you're saying to let people know it's all true. All of this is true. I work in the news industry, and we're ordered weekly basis to pull stories that's coming out of New York. Take that out of your head. And it's frustrating because you ask, you know, how cowardly is this country? I ask myself that a lot. Something big's got to happen because there's glimmers of something coming together. But as a whole, people don't know what the hell's going on. I mean,
well, I've got our guest coming up, but we'll take a few calls on Ebola with him. I want to come back to you if you can hold. If you got to go, go, Joe. But amazing what you're talking about. We should do a whole show where media people can call in and talk about the tyranny that's going on in there. But they put yes men and women in key positions everywhere. That's what happened to America, is that they put bad guys at all the key points.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
The experts are clear. Sunlight, purified water, healthy non-GMO food, and having a good attitude is essential to a healthy immune system. But I go further with Super Nascent Iodine X2 from InfoWarsLife.com. 50% stronger than our original and revolutionary Nascent Iodine formula, coming from a deep earth crystal source that no other supplier has. Most other forms of iodine come from seaweed in areas plagued by Fukushima and other contaminants. Not our iodine. It comes from over 200 million year old crystal salt deposits and is tested and proven to be completely pure. Visit InfoWarsLife.com today. See the informational videos. Read the information there compiled. And for a limited time, when you use promo code NOW at checkout, you get an additional 5% off the entire family of InfoWarsLife.com products. Secure your Survival Shield X2 today at InfoWarsLife.com or call toll free 888-253-3139.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, a natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules. Now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body. Normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
What landslide? Obama threatens vetoes and executive orders, including immigration reform this year, which just means legalizing all the illegals. He's already incentivized to come into the country to get free welfare. Really an amazing act of tyranny we're seeing. Also in the election, CNN exit poll shows Republicans won big among full-time workers and college attendees, showing the youth are becoming more libertarian. And again, it was a libertarian movement, CNN News is reporting, that breathed life into the dying dinosaur Republican carcass. So it's not an endorsement of the Republican establishment, this major political realignment. It's America waking up to collectivism and insider politics and identity politics and race politics is a fraud. And that's exactly what the new black senator, Scott, is saying. Stop the race baiting. And for that, he gets an F grade from the NAACP. Pretty amazing to see all of that unfolding. Now, we've got a very special guest on, Stephen Hatfield, for the balance of the hour. Towards the end of the hour, we will take some calls from Joe and others that are calling in on Ebola specifically. I don't say Ebola on purpose. It's a Freudian slip. Ebola. Stephen Hatfield is an American physician, virologist, and bioweapons expert, one of the top in the world, who underwent what was considered by many a trial by the media and with great toll in his personal and professional life. After 8 months of pressure from the media and amateur detectives, the U.S. Department of Justice identified the former government scientist as a person of interest in the investigation. That's not why he's on today, the 2001 attacks. He was later completely exonerated, and Hatfield later sued won $5.8 million from the federal government. They also tried to burn a bunch of other patsies. Was bizarre. And of course, we really know what happened with that. It wasn't somebody rogue, ladies and gentlemen. We're not going to cover that much today. As of 2014, Stephen Hatfield is consulting to African countries on Ebola containment and prevention. In his detailed report on Ebola epidemic made available by the Atlantic Monthly, he supports the introduction of stronger quarantine measures to protect the United States from infection. So, he's one of the global leading experts. He's worked a lot in Africa as well. He's advising the African countries, one of the top advisors to their governments. And so, again, we're very honored to have him join us. And dovetail with all this, Forbes is reporting, and we're linked to it on Infowars.com, that Obama has ordered the media to cover up new Ebola cases, or what they believe are Ebola cases in the country. And we've interviewed on air by name medical doctor and others, Border Patrol, that they're saying, no, people that we're told have Ebola are being disappeared. So it appears to be a cover-up, but regardless, people are being disappeared. So we've got the expert on to be able to break down every facet of this, and he's an associate of Doctors for Disaster Preparedness. They have an amazing website, DDP Online. That's ddponline.org. We're going to tweet that out. We have one of the top doctors, one of the top global experts on Ebola, giving us the inside breakdown on what's happening. Dr. Hatfield, thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you very much, Alex. Good day to you.
So much is happening. Where should we begin?
Probably to look at this entire outbreak. And by the way, there are a lot of people knowledgeable about Ebola. This disease has been recognized since 1975. And the earlier generation of infectious disease specialists that worked with this recognized that there was some non-understanding of this virus with respect to transmission or potential for transmission, and they classified this as a biosafety level 4 threat. This requires the highest level of biocontainment. This is where you wear the spacesuits that are under positive pressure, and you work inside a room that is negative pressure. So nothing can get to your skin or your mucous membrane, and you're quite safe under these type of conditions. Because of field expedience and requirements, Ebola in Africa is being treated as a biosafety level 3.
Sure. Doc, speak up just a little bit for us. Thanks.
Ebola in Africa is being treated as a biosafety level 3 infection, and we're doing the same in this country under these protocols. There's still some things we don't know about the virus, which is a bit concerning. The crux of the problem is that as the human species has expanded, we've encroached onto natural areas throughout the world in our ever-increasing numbers. And this leads to the whole concept of emerging infectious diseases. And we're getting almost one new infection that we haven't seen before in humans. Almost every year now. So the Ebola outbreak is just the tip of the problem. And it's been interesting to watch how the United States responded to this. Because I can guarantee you there's worse things than Ebola out in nature that we don't have any idea about yet. So it's very important to make sure that we have a good public health service, robust, and it's able to handle these unusual types of dangerous outbreaks.
Specifically, we've seen Army reports saying that in cold weather, Ebola is essentially airborne, can live on surfaces for weeks. Then we see the New York Times and CNN saying, oh, is it going airborne? Reportedly, it would only be infectious for 3 or 4 days previously. Now they say it doesn't show up for 21, maybe 70 in sperm. From researching Ebola as being a top bioweapons expert who advises Africa You say we don't know much about this virus, and that concerns you. We read about 300-plus mutations, different strains. What can you tell us, Dr. Hatfield, about this particular Ebola and why it appears to have spread to record numbers of people?
Well, for the last, to answer your question directly and then expound upon it, the data that I'm getting back to me is that this virus is replicating to a very high level in humans, the Zaire strain of Ebola that's part of the present outbreak. Also, this is an RNA virus, and these are notoriously susceptible to mutation. With respect to the aerosol transmission, we've known for 4 years now that both Ebola and its relative, the Marburg virus, can survive in an aerosol in the dark to detectable levels for at least 1.5 hours. That is, if it's not in direct sunlight. Aerosols are generated by a variety of things: coughing, sneezing, invasive medical procedures, vomiting, diarrhea, flushing a toilet, a lot of common laboratory equipment that's used in a medical laboratory. These are capable of producing aerosol droplets in different size ranges. In traditional outbreaks of Ebola in Africa, airborne transmission has not been an overwhelming feature. It's been person-to-person contact or contact with contaminated fluids. When we're in the United States and an ambulance crew is trying to transport a patient with an unknown fever to a hospital, it's very common to generate aerosols and vomit and this type of thing. And my concern is patients that don't realize they have this disease, or EMS responders that don't realize they have this, and then secondary transmission to the healthcare worker.
Well, Dr. Stephen Hatfield is our guest, one of the top bioweapons experts out there, and he's advising African countries on what's going on. We see some UN models saying 1.4 million by January they could contract it. I know you've called for stricter controls. I follow the news, but I'm not an expert like you, but I do interview the experts, Doctor. Previously, they would put people on ships or make them get out of the hot zone in Africa for 21 days before they brought them in. They wouldn't stick Ebola patients, like you said, with level 4 inside hospitals, level 2 or 3. Why are they not doing the default things they did previously, A? B, why are they lying to people and saying there's no threat it'll spread over here, or am I wrong about that? What do you think, pulling back from this as a scientist, just as an American citizen, as a family man, things don't seem right here. What's really going on?
I don't know. It seems politics are driving things. Now, this epidemic in Africa is, I don't think we're going to see these catastrophic predictions over there.
Good.
We have a very good infrastructure here. I mean, you can't imagine the conditions in Africa in some places. So the ability to control this thing here, I think, is very, very good. This isn't the one to panic about. But it does portray some disturbing questions. We've spent $120 billion on biological defense and emerging diseases over the last 2 decades. And we can't seem to handle one case of Ebola. Flu is probably our really biggest worry, an avian hybrid flu. And for this, the United States spent some $47 million in supplemental funding to the Department of Health and Human Services. In a recent GAO investigation, it's essentially this money was wasted. DHS spent about $9.5 million on protective equipment since 2006, and $6.7 for antiviral drugs, which, by the way, don't work. And our stockpile of Tamiflu and the other drug has expired. There's been no controls to monitor. There was no rationality to this purchasing. They bought about 5,000 bottles of hand sanitizer 84% of this is expired.
So basically a giant boondoggle.
Yeah, essentially.
Stay there. Dr. Stephen Hatfield is our guest, MD, one of the top bioweapons experts out there. When I come back, I want to ask him then if he talks about an airborne avian flu that's airborne to humans, that being the big threat. What are the big threats? Mousepox. He talks about all these new emerging diseases. Let's discuss that, because what this shows us is when something really bad shows up, they're just going to leave the borders wide open. And why?
This winter, next to water and food, you need a safe, storable fuel supply for your preparedness needs. Spare Fuel is the answer. Unlike gasoline, Spare Fuel can be safely stored with your other supplies for many years and works in any gas-powered vehicle or backup generator. With the bitterly cold temperatures predicted for this winter, now is the best time to stock up on Spare Fuel. So, go to GetSpareFuel.com. That's GetSpareFuel.com. GetSpareFuel.com.
In today's unstable environment, self-protection is critical. Civil unrest, riots, looting, it's happening now, right here in the United States. And your rights are at risk. If passed, H.R. 5344 would ban Level 3 and above body armor. KD Armor is standing up for you. We offer the most affordable Level 3 body armor on the market. KD Level 3 armor withstands pistol and rifle hits up to 7.62 NATO. Get yours at KDArmor.com. That's CATIArmor.com. KD Armor, come and take it.
On September 30th, 2014, the first confirmed case of Ebola appeared in the U.S. This, combined with several other unidentified viruses, have some of our customers at 30dayfoodsupply.com concerned about the safety of our domestic food supply, resulting in a surge of our $99 90-serving kits. While we at 30dayfoodsupply.com have no expertise in epidemiology, we are aggressively purchasing raw materials that are currently in stock, and we intend to continue to sell our 30-day non-GMO emergency food supply for only $99 as long as we can. Oregon Trail Foods and 30dayfoodsupply.com keep prices low by buying directly from the producers in Oregon and then pass the savings on to you. Call 541-229-0010 and purchase our 30-day, 90-day serving emergency food supplies for only $99, and $10 ships your entire order to the lower 48. Visit our website at 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010. 541-229-0010.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Hi folks, Alex Jones here with some important information. I want to tell you about Matt Redhawk and his team of patriots over at My Patriot Supply. Several years ago, Matt was sitting in his two-bedroom apartment, frustrated with the direction this country was headed, and the charlatans willing to sell us out for a quick buck. Deciding to take action, a company run by patriots for patriots was born. My Patriot Supply has never taken a loan or accepted outside funding. They now operate two distribution facilities and employ over 50 hard-working American men and women. It is rare to find companies who practice what they preach. And that's why I stock my pantry with high-quality storable foods from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com/Alex today for special offers on emergency food storage, or call their preparedness specialist at 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Do business with someone who shares your values. MyPatriotSupply.com/Alex.
Don't worry. This show is documented. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
I fell into a burning ring.
That's right. Don't worry. We start claiming something or talking about something, we give you the source. About 99% of the time. Or if we're speculating, we'll tell you. We're just speculating. You can make the decision yourself, just like we're doing, off what you think's going on. Dr. Stephen Hatfield is our guest, medical doctor, one of the top bioweapons experts out there on record. And you can read big articles with his analysis in the Atlantic Monthly, you name it, just by Googling his name or going to ddponline.org, Doctors for Disaster Preparedness. And he joins us right now. We'll be taking some of your calls coming up for him at 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231, coming up in the next segment. Doc, this is your sports segment, so getting right back into it. I see them publish the design of mousepox that they say is super deadly, worse than Ebola. Correct me if I'm wrong. Or universities openly working at BioShield to create new airborne avian flu, claiming they want to know how to treat it. But, again, I'm no rocket scientist or virologist like you, but it seems if you've got level four stuff going on in Galveston, where it gets hit by a hurricane, and things seem so flimsy now, it's only a matter of time till the BioShield system ends up releasing some nightmare pathogen. Or do you think it's going to come out of the jungles of somewhere? You talk about all these emerging things. What is the big threat? What keeps you awake at night?
Mother Nature.
Yeah.
Look, these labs, I mean, you've got C.J. Peters down there, and he is probably one of the world's experts on Ebola. He was at CDC Special Pathogens for years. Hugh Samrid, an extremely, extremely knowledgeable scientist and physician, just a wonderful guy. And this stuff isn't getting out of a lab.
Okay, so you're not worried about that. What are you?
No.
So you're worried about the jungle.
I'm worried about the jungle. And right now, there's about five different things going on with emerging diseases. We have this enterovirus that's sickening the children in the Midwest. We have monkeypox outbreaks in the Kasai Oriental province. This has been going on for years. We have an Ebola outbreak in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. We have the MERS virus in the Mideast. This is a severe respiratory system virus, semi-related to the SARS virus that broke out in China and Hong Kong. We have the chikungunya virus outbreak, and it's almost epidemic in Puerto Rico. We've had, I think, one primary case in Florida and one secondary mosquito-transmitted cases in Florida. So these things are just, as our species numbers increase, we have more contact with disrupted, fragmented environments, and most of these diseases are jumping from animals into humans. A number of years ago, in the mid-90s, we almost lost all the lions in the Serengeti in Africa. Distemper, a type of measles virus, jumped from the local wild dogs into the lion population and decimated them. So this is a continuing, growing threat of emerging infectious diseases, and scientists have been worried about this for 30 years.
So as humans move into these zoological areas, what's causing the viruses and things to jump over into other animals and humans? Is it just the proximity?
The proximity and the fact that the majority of these are RNA viruses. RNA is a type of genetic information that a virus carries. The other type is the DNA, which a lot of people are familiar with. But in an RNA virus, every time the virus replicates, it tends to make a mistake in its genetic copy. So you have, let's say, HIV, a retrovirus, something a bit different. But you may find up to 27 different strains of HIV in one patient.
Wow.
So it's Mother Nature's way. And as these viruses mutate, many become non-infectious. Many lose their capability for viability. Some acquire perhaps new traits. The Ebola Restin virus is completely non-pathogenic for humans. You can inject this into yourself and you won't even run a temperature. It does nothing. But it's very, very aerosol transmitted. Now, if you're a pig, it makes you sick. A lot of these are very species specific. And then the pig transmits the rest of the Ebola virus to humans. And again, nothing happens. So sometimes there's an amplifying host in the middle.
Let me ask you a question when we come back. Long segment coming up. Is it possible when it goes through a buffer like a pig, would you then get some immunity to other Ebola viruses from the Reston variety? And we'll ask, is that the one that got out in the lab in 1989? We'll be back. Stay with us.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
I love a dark house. Inside is all the stuff you work so hard for, and I'm gonna rob you blind.
Don't be the next victim of a break-in. Go to FakeTV.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone is inside watching TV and makes your home unappealing to would-be thieves.
Don't these people ever leave?
Starting at $24.95, and there's free shipping. Go to FakeTV.com or ask for it at your local hardware store. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
In the near future.
When you realize how fake it all is, the football, the basketball.
Alert. Security alert. This is Homeland Security. Analysis. InfoWars building independent media operations.
Let the worst people get controlled and tell us that we are the ones responsible.
Prime directive. Discredit Alex Jones.
Jones is the wildly popular conspiracy theorist.
It's a popular conspiracy theory talk show called InfoWars.
Alex Jones is now in an Austin jail.
These people are assaulting us.
Targeting of patriots engaged.
They are never going to stop. They're never going to deviate from their program until we stop them.
Block free iPhone app at InfoWars.com. Block free podcast and video feed. Imperative. Destroy Prisonplanet TV.
You gotta set your eye on the enemy, not worry about what propaganda they put out. Intellectually, it's begun. You can feel it.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
Well, it's not Obama and the collectivists looting the country's darkest hour. No, my friends. They love it. He says, I'm going to sign executive orders on your guns, shutting down our power plants, on open borders. I'm going to do whatever I want. That's my mandate. Total arrogance. We have video clips of it in his statements up on InfoWars.com right now. You know, since I started mentioning the Reston clip from PBS on a Nova piece back in 1990, narrated by Stacy Keach, let's play that clip and get one of the top bioweapons medical doctor experts out there, Dr. Stephen Hatfield, who trained the FBI, who's a major consultant to African governments right now in their response. He's saying he doesn't think it'll be as bad as some of the media's been saying, but that There's a terrible response to it. He's been very critical of that. I want to get his take on that and take some of your phone calls. But first, let's play this clip since he was mentioning the Reston strain that they believe did go airborne. Here it is.
In 1989, Ebola made its way to the U.S. Residents of this Washington, D.C. suburb had no idea that one of the world's deadliest viruses had emerged in their midst. In a primate quarantine unit in Reston, Virginia, monkeys in one of the holding rooms suddenly began to die. Secretly, a military team entered the quarantine unit and killed all 60 monkeys in the infected room. The crisis heightened as monkeys began to die in a different room. It appeared that the virus was moving through the ventilating system. In response, the military killed all 400 monkeys, ending the outbreak.
All right.
This new strain of Ebola had shown the potential to spread through the air.
Let's go back to Dr. Stephen Hadfield. You were pointing out that this does not make humans sick. I know there's a lot of strains of Ebola. You have been critical of the response. Why has the response been lackluster?
I think our guard went down. The people that handled the Arresta Ebola outbreak from USAMRIID, United States Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Disease, this was the aeromedical isolation team, or what became the aeromedical isolation team. These were highly skilled technicians wearing totally appropriate positive pressure ventilators and the suits that went in and cleaned this mess up. And the AIT team was built, trained, and put on standby to fly anywhere in the world to aeromedically transport an Ebola case or other hemorrhagic fever case back to Fort Detrick, where there was a biosafety level 4 treatment facility. So everything was handled completely. In fact, the isolator that would come off the helicopter would seal to the outside of the building, and the patient would be brought in for biosafety level 4 care. Physicians from Walter Reed, highly experienced, would come up, put on the spacesuits, and, you know, top flight intensive care. In 2010, for some reason, that was shut down. That capability was lost. And there was really nothing to replace it.
So you're saying that's why all the default measures weren't there, is because we don't have them anymore? So we had them before we spent $120 billion, but now we spent $120 billion, we don't have it.
Yeah, essentially. We have 4 designated biosafety level 3 treatment areas scattered throughout the country. But we kind of lost capability there, and it wasn't just the fact of the facilities. You had people that were practiced and rehearsed and confident in their equipment. It's hard to work in those suits and to try to put a tube into somebody's lungs, an intubation. When you're wearing a spacesuit, it's a little bit difficult. So these physicians had practiced, rehearsed, and there was an area of calm about the entire thing because we knew you were fully protected. When you handle these type of infections under a less than biosafety level 3, decontamination is very, very, very important.
Well, that's my question. They had to know that nurses and people were going to get Ebola if they're treating Ebola patients that are in the final stages, bleeding everywhere, like the guy, patient zero that died in Dallas. I mean, they had to know. And so when Obama comes out and says everything's going to be fine, it doesn't create a lot of confidence. I've talked to medical doctors on air and off air saying that when they see people with Ebola symptoms, that there are CDC teams showing up in spacesuits, taking them out in the middle of the night and telling them don't talk about it. We've had them on record. The media attacked us. Now Forbes is reporting that they were at a CDC press conference and that they met with reporters, AP and others, and they said, we've all agreed to cover up new Ebola cases. I agree with you, and I'm no scientist, but I don't think it's going to spread everywhere and be a super big deal. But at the same time, why would they then be leaving the planes open, not stopping the visas like you've written and said they should? Why then would they be covering it up on one hand while letting it come in on the other?
Well, I have not heard anything about a cover-up, but let's look at it this way. When Mr. Duncan, the patient that died in Texas, two nurses were secondarily exposed. My understanding for the one nurse that flew from Texas to Cincinnati and back, that 800 people had to be contact traced by epidemiologists. That's one case. Putting a quarantine will never be totally effective. But when you build a defense for this type of thing, you try to have it in layers. Just like a military camp. You have Claymore mines out on the periphery, and then you have trenches and interlocking arcs of fire. You have layered defenses trying to reduce the potential number of cases. Canada has put in, it's my understanding, they put in a national quarantine there. It's our elected leaders have chosen not to do that. My worry is that not Ebola, but other cases, other diseases. If one patient on an aircraft took 800 contact tracings, how many patients flying on aircraft infected would it take to overload our national and state's capability to perform contact tracing? It's fairly labor-intensive finding out who this patient had come in contact
with. Sure, at a certain point, you get overwhelmed. So,
yeah.
I mean, the default, correct me if I'm wrong, is you stop the visas from the five countries affected. A bunch of other nations have done that, from England to Australia, and been criticized. The African countries have done the same thing.
Yeah.
People that come in that show signs, you quarantine them.
Yeah.
And it's not that it's going to 100% stop it, but like you said, it's putting up layers of defenses so it doesn't get in, spread out of control, and then you can't get it under control.
Well, even with quarantine, you must expect cases to get in. But it's at a manageable level for your national and state resources. Now, we've used fever as one of the criteria and thermal scanners in the airports, but the published literature, outbreaks in Uganda and this present outbreak, New England Journal of Medicine in October 16, 2014, is probably the most up-to-date, and they report that in 12% of cases, Ebola can present without fever, and the absence of fever is not a reliable indication that an individual is not infected.
Sure, because Advil or Tylenol can knock it down, right? That's what they're saying as well.
I don't know about that and the pharmacological interreactions. I know these some non-steroidal anti-inflammatory agents can reduce fever. Tylenol can do that.
Sure, but I mean,
but to use this as a sole mass screening when 12% of the cases may not be showing a fever. So again, it's part of defense. But, the SARS outbreak, I mean, fever was a presenting sign there. And Singapore and some other countries were very, very quickly able to get on top of this. Or it could have been really quite a public health disaster for Singapore. And when they home quarantined somebody over there for the SARS virus, they had people phoning every hour, the house. And if you weren't there, and you were supposed to be under house quarantine, the police came by to get you. And so we know how to handle these things. We've known for 100 years.
What do you make of this nurse? Well, the doctor in New York has a fever. He's at bowling alleys, the A train. He's at restaurants. And then he lied about it reportedly to the police. I mean, this guy's a medical doctor out of a hot zone. He's got a fever. What is he thinking running around?
I can't comment on that. I don't know the details of the case. But we do know that skin shedding of the virus can occur. in advanced cases, you can take a skin swab off someone, and using fairly non-sophisticated techniques, it's got a big long word, immunohistochemistry, but you can see Ebola virus in the skin. The virus replicates in certain cells in the skin, and your skin has a growing layer and it sheds, and you're constantly flaking dead skin cells off.
Ugh.
And these Langerhans cells, the virus replicates inside them, it goes outside the Langerhans cells, and it can get pushed to the surface.
Dr. Stephen Hatfield is our guest, one of the top bioweapons experts out there, advising major African governments on this biggest Ebola outbreak ever, and talking about the response. If you just joined us, I'm your host, Alex Jones. I want to go to some phone calls now in the 10-15 minutes we've got left with Stephen Hatfield. And, of course, you can visit his website, Doctors for Disaster Preparedness, that he's part of, ddponline.org for doctors and others that will be part of the organization to get the latest up-to-date information. You can go there and become a member as well. Has a lot of important news and information as well. Looking at this, what is, the FBI had asked major universities to not release, the way to weaponize mousepox and things like this. You talk about monkeypox and things. Obviously, there have been weaponized things in government labs around the country. South Africa came out in some of their hearings, was trying to weaponize things for race-specific reasons. I know a lot of that stuff's classified. But specifically, are you worried about that more? And the Russians in the Cold War with weaponized anthrax, or are you worried more about what's coming out of the jungle merging with something? I mean, could we see something that makes airborne Ebola look tame, a 12 monkey scenario?
I just want to finish the answer to my skin shedding.
Yes.
We don't know when during infection this occurs. The things that were looked at were late, almost terminal cases. But we don't have data on when skin shedding occurs, and if you're infected through the skin, the virus would be replicating there. So, what I'm trying to say is there's still some uncertainty there. So when we develop first responder guidelines, we always need to err on the side of caution.
I get it. So we need to tell the firemen, the police, the medical workers, as you wrote in the Atlantic, that they could get it by brushing up against somebody.
What I can say is this. Medicine Sans Frontières, MSF, probably have the greatest number of people experienced with handling Ebola. They've been absolutely heroic in their efforts in Africa. On their own guidelines, their handbook for handling these patients, the degree for a risk for accidental exposures, in the unclear or variable section of their degrees of risk, they mention direct contact between intact skin. And an example touched by a symptomatic Ebola patient. And their guidelines were immediate observation at the field or at the national capital level of these instances. So we know patients in advanced stages, and this is part of the transmission, handling the bodies, burying the bodies without proper protective gear and this type of thing. These are late cases, but we don't have data to indicate when this viral shedding starts. So we're assuming it's in late-stage cases. Well, assuming is not erring on the side of caution. So we need further studies on this.
Sure. Well, all these Texas officials and federal officials said there's no way to get it. You have to be vomited on into an open wound. That's been shown not to be true. And clearly it looks like this Ebola is hardier, spreading more than ever before. So something's going on here. I want to go to these callers, John, Justin, Mike, Jake, and others that are patiently holding. But, Doc, what about bio?
I'm more worried about the jungle. To answer your question before this, there are things out there. There's a virus called the Bas-Congo virus. Time from death between first showing symptoms is 2 to 3 days. There's only been about 3 or 4 cases.
Wow.
We don't know a lot about this. There's another virus that hasn't jumped species yet. It's still in the monkeys, called simian hemorrhagic fever, and this has 100% lethality in monkeys.
Wow.
hasn't jumped to humans yet, and we're trying to watch this. But Mother Nature is really not something you want to mess with. It requires the highest sort of thinking on this, and always erring on the side of caution when you're dealing with human lives.
Now, what was the virus that kills 100%?
Well, it's a monkey virus that hasn't jumped into humans that we know of yet. It's called simian hemorrhagic fever.
And then what was the other one that's only a few people have gotten it, but it kills them in a matter of days?
It's called the BAS-Congo virus.
Wow, and imagine if those got out.
Well, we don't know how it's trained. It looks like it's probably, again, the fruit bats. But, you know, we're not certain yet. It might be arthropod, you know, insect transmitted. We don't know, and there's still a lot of research going on this. But it serves as an example that Mother Nature holds a lot of surprises for us. And, I mean, right now we live in a virtual sea of viruses. We can't see them. We can't detect them. We can't smell them. We can't touch them. But they're all around us. Only a few, only about 1,700 infectious agents have the capacity to affect humans.
But any time they could mutate, and then there'll be a chain reaction, and we're not ready at all. It seems like the more money we spend, the less ready we are. It's bizarre.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Bizarre. Dr. Stephen Hatfield is here with us today. Let's take some phone calls. John in North Carolina, thanks for being patient. You're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, I had a couple of questions for Stephen Hatfield.
Yeah, you're on the air.
Yeah, Stephen, can you tell us what you were doing in North Carolina back in November of 2001?
No.
Well, we don't screen the phone calls, but, I mean, obviously...
That was a classified project.
Yeah.
Oh, so you were in North Carolina in 2001. Can you tell us specifically what you were doing in Clayton, North Carolina, 2001?
All right, well, I didn't set this call up, and I don't mind the call.
No, I don't either. I don't remember being in Clayton, North Carolina.
Where I saw you. You walked down my street. You were wearing your Army jacket, which had your last name on it. You remember that?
No. That's... you're thinking of somebody.
I got another question for you. You back in those days, you admitted that you had killed a terrorist and kept his shoes as a souvenir. Can you tell us who that was?
Is this an FBI agent calling in or something?
No, this is Stephen Hatfield's victim.
Okay. Listen, here's the deal. The FBI went after like four or five people. He's won a lawsuit. He wasn't involved in the anthrax attacks, folks. I studied them. We have a prime suspect that was never gone after, who was checked into the area where it was at. We don't screen phone calls. I'm trying to get in a fight with the caller.
No, that's okay. I was in the Rhodesian Army. I don't know the terrorist's name. It was in Mozambique. The man was carrying a weapon, and he was coming across the border to brutalize innocent tribespeople.
You've done a lot of interesting things. We'll have to get you on sometime just about your life. Years ago, I did have you on separately about the whole anthrax deal. You probably don't even remember that.
No.
But you don't do a ton of interviews these days, but you are doing more, I guess, to respond to what's happening with Ebola. I wasn't even going to go there with the anthrax case, but they later admitted that you just had zero connection and it was quackery. And I don't even want to name names here, but it just literally... you got fingered because you were one of the people advising the government on anthrax. And so you were just a name they picked out of a hat.
Well, actually, I wasn't advising the government on anthrax. We were
training
them. We were helping to teach the domestic preparedness program.
Well, that's what I meant, like how to counter things like that.
Well, for the hospitals in the 120 largest cities, how to handle some sort of an outbreak. But anthrax was just one of the agents. There was tularemia, plague, the plague organism, a virus called VEE, and some others. But this was just a national program that the Nunn-Lugar Domenici Amendment had brought into place.
Well, that was a bizarre call. I mean, I would have kept him on, but when people start, you know, saying I'm a victim, I don't know how I can prove that. If that person wants to send me proof or information, I'd like to see it. Maybe Mr. Hatfield will come back on and debate you. But we got him on today about Ebola. I would have told him up front if he was coming on about anthrax. But people sure want to know about that. Have you ever thought about writing a book about the whole anthrax debacle?
Oh, yeah. I wrote one.
I mean, I know you wrote one, but have you thought about writing one about now since it all, you know, came out?
I wrote one during the time.
In fact, I think I read that book. What was the name of it?
No, I haven't published it.
It must have been a book about the anthrax attacks. You know, 14 years goes by, you forget a lot of stuff.
It might have been. Look, I'm used to this, so this isn't a problem. This happens all the time. Still, once you're named a person of interest, that never goes away. It continues.
Well, look.
Until the day you die.
If something happens in Austin now, a city of 2 million people,
yeah.
the folks online say, I must be involved. I mean, it just goes on and on. Let's talk to Justin in Texas. Justin, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Shout out and props to all the guys on your staff. Everybody's doing an excellent job.
Thank you, brother.
And we miss you here in Corpus Christi. It's been a while. So I'd just like to touch base on something. I'm in my 30s, and I can tell that there's a lot of people in the same age bracket that have concerns in, like, what they're able to do and what they can't do and what they can get away with and the legalities of this. And right now, I read an article recently about Operation American Freedom. It might be a spinoff of the Operation American Spring, if you remember that.
Sure, that's specifically on how to get politically active. Do you have a question for our guest?
Well, not so much for the guest, but I'm just curious what we can do. There's a lot of...
Well, I'm going to put you on hold and come back to you, because we're talking about Ebola right now. Let's go ahead and talk to Mike in Wyoming. Mike, you're on the air.
So, Mr. Hatfield, you would have us believe that it's just serendipity that these Ebola outbreaks are occurring in areas that are rich in oil, gas, gold, diamonds, that the virus is just jumping species. And how are we to reconcile your comments with those of Dr. Francis Boyle about a week ago, where he said that my alma mater, UTMB Galveston, Tulane, CDC, are all working at weaponizing Ebola?
Well, the Soviets tried for years to weaponize Ebola, and they couldn't stabilize it. What they did do was they managed to weaponize one of its relatives called the Marburg virus, which they made quite a bit of. In response to why are these outbreaks occurring in environmentally rich and mineral-rich areas, well, these areas happen to be in areas that we call high biodiversity. And there's about 12 biomes scattered throughout the world. And if you look at the number of conflicts, wars that have occurred, about 80% of these since 1953 have occurred in these stressed high biodiversity areas. And when you stress these biodiversity areas, i.e. fragment the jungle, have human encroachment to the edge of the jungle, destroy natural food sources, this type of thing for the animals, this is where you start to see these viruses jump out.
Sure. One argument is that South Africa was trying to develop weaponized airborne Ebola and other things. We've played some of those clips here from the news. And I think what Mike's getting into here is we've had a lot of experts on pointing out that the U.S. is using this outbreak as a cover to send in AFRICOM to take over the resources. The Chinese are sending thousands of people.
No, no, I don't put anything above the Chinese. But the United States, and it's a humanitarian thing. The soldiers that are going over are from a transport battalion. They're going over very bravely. I don't know what level of training they receive or self-protection against the virus, but they're going over there very bravely because their country asked them to participate.
Well, it is true. I think they've got 5 hours training, so they're certainly not combat groups. But folks are looking at that. I know you've got to go. If you can do 5 more minutes with us, I want to come back and talk about the organization that you're part of, ddponline.org. That's a great question, caller.
This is GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
Another major health threat. This one in Toledo, Ohio, where everybody in the entire city has been told not to drink the water.
Ohio's governor declaring a state of emergency.
Did you know that the average person uses about 80 to 100 gallons of water at home every single day? If there's a water emergency, will you be prepared?
Panicked residents forming long lines throughout the day.
We're here at a supermarket in Toledo. You can see the shelves empty where water once was.
To stay safe and healthy during a crisis, you must
must have access to safe, clean water. Water which will not be available at your local grocery store.
There's a mad dash on right now to stock up on supplies.
The ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system is a must-have for every modern, independently minded household. Protect your family's safety during an emergency. Go to InfoWarsStore.com today to purchase your ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system or call 1-888-253-3139.